Music by the performer, Yang Ying is her name. It's called Wandering. And there's a couple of tuned arhus, differently tuned arhus in there. And the an instrument you'll actually hear coming up called the zeng or the guzeng, something like that. I've been coached on the pronunciation by one of our guests today. This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. And the first part of our program doesn't have to do necessarily with any particular performance, but it has a lot to do with the Chinese New Year or the Lunar New Year, as you prefer, and more on that coming up in a moment. But the second half of our program does have to do with a performance next Monday of, it's actually a memorial concert of the music of Champaign-Urbana composer Peter Michailov, who died last month. This is at the end of January. He died in December. And he intended, of course, to be there for his own concert, but is not going to be. Some of the performers will be with us to share some of his music. His wife will be here as well. And we'll reminisce a bit about some of Peter's music and what he was about in life. So the first part of the program is something that came up when I had a conversation with Chime Carmody at the Urbana Free Library. She was had put together a program of music and dance and some other things for the Lunar New Year for both Chinese performers and Korean performers. And we have some of, I guess it is all girls, now that I think about it, who were on that program to join us today, simply because it's the new year, and I thought it might be something very pleasant to do. I enjoyed the program that I heard there. But let me introduce to you before we hear some of the music from these young musicians. A fellow who I actually know as a tennis player, who I met playing tennis, and turns out he was running around taking pictures of all these performers on Saturday, and wouldn't you know, one of them was his daughter, and she's one who's with us. His name, Wang Yu, or as I know him, Ian Wang, and he's curator of East Asian Galleries, the East Asian Galleries at the Spurlock Museum on the University of Illinois campus. And also, I learned just now, writes a column for the News Gazette, Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, called Art Equals Life, which I have to admit, Ian, I've never encountered, so I'm going to have to look it up.
It's the local weekly paper.
Yeah.
So in Rantoul Press.
Oh, in the Rantoul Press.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, send me a copy sometime. I'd be curious to hear what you
have a wine
what
in
you
my
muse
car.
About. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about the Chinese New Year. I mean, most people here call it Chinese New Year, but
right.
It's also the Koreans acknowledge it. The Japanese acknowledge it as the Lunar New Year, or
there's a spring festival because it's an agriculture calendar. Actually, today it's the New Year's Day.
This is it.
Yeah, and then so a lot of Asian countries was celebrate this New Year or Spring Festival.
How is it determined? You know, when we say Lunar New Year.
I don't know the origin, but it was a long time ago, 1,000 years ago, based on the lunar calendar or agriculture calendar. It's to celebrate. And welcome the new year and the spring. And the spring is the most important season because it's a sowing season. Without the sowing, without the harvest. And so that's during the ancient Chinese society and agriculture society. So that's one of the most important festivals.
But it's not a set date every year. It changes with the phases of the moon, basically.
Yes. So mostly it's in February, beginning of February or end of January. Depends on that year.
And I gather that in China there are a lot of music. There is a lot of music and dance that is done at this time, around this time. What's the tradition?
I don't think there's any specific music written just for the Chinese New Year. like Christmas. Here you have Christmas songs, but because it's a part of China's daily life, and it's a lot of it's to wish people good luck, peace, and then to celebrate the daily life. I think that's very appropriate for your program, and so those music related to the daily life of China, so can be used to during the celebration of the Chinese
music and dance have been a long, long, long part of Chinese life
history.
Yeah, yeah. Throughout history,
we have one famous saying, say the translating into English, it's the end of speaking language is the beginning of the music. The reason is because the ordinary language not enough to describe to express people's feeling. That's how the music begins.
Do you have any background yourself in music?
No, unfortunately not. I'm in art, many visual art. I wish I had the opportunity to learn music, and my parents regret so much I did not have the opportunity to learn music.
When you were growing up, what was the what was your experience of music, even, you know, within family tradition or regional tradition?
My school time, when I was around about 10 years, 10 years old, the cultural revolution started, and then the whole country was in a chaotic situation for 10 and a half years. So I did not have much schooling because of that, because it's not me. In the whole country, the schools were not open, they were closed. So that's why I did not have much, you know, music background or opportunity to learn any music. And also politically at that time, and lot of music had to do with the political propaganda and so on and so forth. On the other hand, China has a very long history of music. Music is a very important part of Chinese tradition or, you know, education. As I mentioned earlier, Confucius said, you know, without music, one's education is not complete. So music is highly regarded as part of the cultivation, education of any Chinese person. So that's why most of Chinese people now, they do try to send their kids to learn instruments, to learn music. Doesn't mean they want them to be professional musicians, but it's a very important part of their education.
And obviously your daughter has been spending some time in music. She understands, plays one of the instruments I mentioned earlier, the guzheng. And is going to be playing flute today with another friend who does play the guzheng. Maybe I should just let Selena speak for herself. What's been your experience of music as a young person?
Well, I started to play piano around the age of 4 or 5, and then after a while, I think around age 7 or 8, I started playing the guzheng, and then when I was 10, I started playing the flute, and I think some point after that, I dropped playing the piano because it was somewhat strenuous for me to play and practice all three instruments. And fairly recently, I stopped playing the guzheng, and now I just play flute, so.
What attracted you to that instrument in the first place, the guzheng?
Well, I'm not really sure what exactly happened. I think probably my parents were looking into Chinese instruments, and then I think my dad saw, and he was like, oh, this is really cool, Selena, you should go learn it. and And then I was like, well, okay. And then so I played it for, I think, for a good, like, for a good few years. So, yeah.
And, why don't we let the two of you play what you plan to play together? And I think I heard this piece last Saturday at the library. And then we'll talk a bit more. This is Selena Wong, who's playing flute, and then Carolyn Kai is on the gutsang. And they're live here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Selena Wong on the flute and Carolyn Kai on the gutsang, live here in our studio and Live and Local on the occasion of the Lunar New Year, or the Chinese New Year, if you like, Spring Festival in China. What's the name of that piece?
It's called Milking.
Milking? Mm-hmm. As in milking a cow?
Mm-hmm.
In Chinese, it's called Jing Yu Nai, which, like she said, literally translates to milking. So.
And is this a traditional tune, as far as you know?
As far as we know, we don't think so.
This original music was a part of a movie and called, translated into English, something like Sons and the Daughters of the Grassland. And then it's later specially arranged, rearranged or rewritten for a solo for guzheng, and it's a very popular piece. A lot of masters play this piece in China, guzheng master.
Ian Wong, who is a curator of the Asian gallery at the Spurlock Museum in Champaign. No, it's in Urbana, on the campus of the University of Illinois. The university is about a third in the Champaign. What can you tell us about this instrument historically?
The earliest written record about this instrument was 475 BC. And so this instrument could exist before 470 BC. And then it got very popular, from Tang Dynasty along. And now, today before I came, I checked online. It was said it's one of the most popular instruments in China now. A lot of people, children or adults or professional or people play guzheng. I don't think guzheng, two words, Chinese words. The first one, gu, means ancient. And the zhen is the real name of this instrument. And so guzheng means ancient instrument.
And I know I've sometimes seen it simply listed as the zhen.
Zen.
Without the gu in front
right.
of it.
That's correct.
Is that a concession to Americans or non-Chinese or something, or is that?
No, I think it. I don't. I think you should really use gu zen, both words, because it's really ancient instrument. Yeah.
Well, Carolyn is going to do a little solo on the instrument. What's this piece?
The piece is called. Well, in China, there's several different ethnic groups. The biggest group is called Hanzu. And this song is the traditional song that originated from the Yaozu. So the Chinese, to say it in Chinese, it's called Yaozu Wuqu. In English, it's translated to Dance of the Yao Tribe.
Let's give it a listen. It's Carolyn Kai in our studio on Live and Local. Thank you. wonderful ring to that instrument. Beautifully done. Carolyn Kai playing the gutsan. And the dance of the Yao tribe, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Played live in our studio here on Live and Local on the occasion of the Chinese New Year. And we have one more musical segment for this occasion in just a second. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's music heritage at the University of Illinois. Now featuring new exhibits entitled On the Road Again, Cruising Coast to Coast with America's Music. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. There is a wonderful artist and art teacher in Urbana whose name is Hua Nian, and she happens also to have done some teaching of Chinese song, and we have six girls who have benefited from that, who, as she say, that was a group that sort of took shape a few years ago because some of them were just or lived around the block and were starting to hang out around her house. And anyway, she taught him a few Chinese children's songs, and not everybody in the group is Chinese, so I gather those of you who aren't had to learn Chinese, and do the rest of you actually know Chinese already?
I do.
Somebody says, I do. One person.
Yeah.
Well, I'll introduce the girls and then let one of you tell us what you're going to sing in each case so we know what you're singing about. Hannah Davis, Yen Qing Shi, Lily Hall, Natalie Hummel, Juliana Tsaritsa, Olivia Taylor, who is Huan Yan's daughter, I should say, and Zella Walden. What's your first song?
So the first song that we're going to be singing comes from China, and the translation is Lumberjack.
I understand you guys call yourselves Moguto, Mushroom Head.
Yeah.
And why is that?
It was a fun word.
It was okay, that's it, huh?
I guess we're mushroom heads.
Probably don't want to follow that one too far. What's your next song?
Our next song comes from Taiwan and is translated as Catching the Eels.
And third, I have the title here, Jasmine Flower.
Yeah.
So this one, we actually get to hear the translation because you're going to sing it for us, right?
How you don't make me the more lee hua. How you don't make me the more lee hua. Fung fung may lee man chu ya. Yo shan yo bai ren ren qua. Rang wo lai ba ni jai xia. Song gay bin ren.
Molihua, Molihua, ya Molihua. Jasmine, jasmine, oh so fair, jasmine, jasmine, oh so fair, budding and blooming here and there, pure and fragrant all declare. Let me take you with tender care, your sweetness for all to share. Jasmine fair, oh jasmine fair, jasmine fair, oh jasmine fair.
Moguto, the name of the group. Mushroom Head, thank you very much. Hannah Davis, Yenqing Shi, Lily Hall, Natalie Hummel, Juliana Tarica, Olivia Taylor, and Zella Walden. Also thanks to our flutist, Selena Wong, and our gutsan player, Carolyn Kai, and to our host, so to speak, Ian Wong, curator of East Asian Galleries at the Spurlock Museum at the University of Illinois. Thank you all very much. Happy New Year to everybody. And may all those listening who celebrate have a fine spring festival. Stay tuned next on Live and Local for a feature on the music of Peter Michailov, which will be presented on Monday in a concert in his memory. And we'll have some live music on this program. Meanwhile, as we change our setup, here's another performance by Yang Ying and several local musicians. This is a tune, a traditional piece, Sai Ma, or Horse Race, here on Live and Local. Thank you. It's arhu player Yang Ying doing a composition called Zheng He Shui, if I say it right, River of Tears, and before that, Saima, or Horse Race, from her really wonderful CD called Blurring Boundaries, Arhu Excursions, and she uses a number of other Champaign Urbana musicians in that. First tune that we heard was also Matt Stewart on the guitar and bouzouki, Jeff Magby on percussion, and Chin-Fei Chan on the flute, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, where our program is made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. Peter Michailov died last December. He is a Champaign-Urbana composer. As he said in his own words, for most of a 30-year career, he did administrative work at the University of Illinois. And that's pretty much how he put it, and that's about all he said about it, at least in his obituary, which he wrote himself. And here with us are two of the musicians who will be participating in a memorial concert on Monday at 7:30 at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute on the University of Illinois campus, program called Thanks for the Memories, the Music of Peter A. Michailov. Also with us, Lydia Tang, who is one of the organizers of that event and performed some of Peter's music when he was with us last. And when was that?
That was around this time.
Was it a year ago?
Yes, in February.
I didn't realize it'd been that long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Peter's wife, Sharon, is with us as well. I wanted to ask you, Sharon, when I've asked Peter before, you know, mm-hmm. what did he do mm-hmm. professionally?
Mm-hmm.
He usually kind of got around that question as if he, almost as if he were ashamed of what he did as an administrator, and that's about as much as I got. I'm not even remember mm-hmm. where in the university he worked, but
yeah.
Does that mean he really was a musician in his heart, soul, and most of his mind?
Well, he saw the work. I mean, he got his doctorate here in 77.
But not
he
in
actually
music.
Finished. Yeah.
It was in music.
Yes,
right.
He had
I knew
a
that.
DMA
yes,
in composition.
Right.
And he, you know, applied for jobs like you do. He was young. He was only 25 when he finished. And there weren't a lot of jobs. So he took the civil service test and ended up in the one place that he usually didn't mention, he would say, I work for in a government department. He ended up with the IRS. And he was a tax auditor for a few years. And because of that, he took a bunch of accounting courses and eventually got a CPA. So he was a CPA. And he worked as an accountant and a business manager for the university. He worked at the Alumni Association. And then he worked in geology for 10 years. And then he worked in the Foreign Language Building at the closer to the end of his career, which he liked in a lot of ways because he was very, very good at foreign languages. And he wrote some very influential articles in historical linguistics. I mean, his specialties in historical linguistics were very esoteric. He taught classical Mongolian for the university several times. But he used to tell people that he was a business manager with the university for about 30 years. And then when he started meeting musicians, and he would say, well, I was a business manager for 30 years, and I've only recently gotten back into music, and they would kind of glaze over. And I said, you know, people don't really care about what you did for those 30 years. They really care about your music background because they're musicians. Mm. And so instead of talking about what he did as a business manager, which he really saw as a way of you know, paying the bills, he talked about the music because that was most important to him, and it was most important to the people he was talking to, so he didn't really bother with that. I would say the only thing that he really enjoyed completely was he was the chair of the business managers group one year. And that doesn't sound like anything very exciting, but one of the things that he really had wanted to be was a stand-up comedian.
Really?
Yeah, so every meeting he got a chance to do a stand-up routine, and he loved it. And he'd come home and he'd say, they all laughed at my jokes. And I'd say, what do you expect? They're all accountants. So he really liked that.
Well, I always thought, you know, what little I knew of Peter, that his sense of humor to me seemed to be rather dry,
mm-hmm.
and to the point where I didn't always know if he was being funny or not.
Well, that was true, but he liked to tell really, really bad jokes, and he loved puns. He could very seldom make me laugh, so that was... Yes, he could very seldom make me laugh, and he worked hard at it.
Does that mean that you don't have a sense of humor, or that he didn't
think
he
really,
was that
really
funny?
Bad jokes, really bad jokes, and I didn't want to encourage him. And unfortunately, he was one of those people that you couldn't discourage, so he would just keep going on and telling you really, really bad jokes.
Well, it was interesting to me in reading his obit, again, which he wrote. He mm-hmm. says it was Sharon's idea that I write an obituary. Mm-hmm. Probably everybody should do that, really. You know, write their own so they have people remember what they want them to remember. But it was mm-hmm. interesting to me that he spent the whole time talking about music.
Mm-hmm. Once he got back into music, which was really unexpected, he retired in 2006, and he decided to write this string quartet. And then he didn't write anything else for a while, and he had the chance to give a lunchtime lecture at Ollie on Beethoven, and it went over well, so he started teaching these classes. And every time he would meet any musicians, and they would say, oh, you're a composer, so what have you written? And he'd say, well, I have the string quartet. You know, it didn't matter if they were a flutist or a pianist or a string player. He would just say, well, I have the string quartet. And of course, if they weren't string players, they'd go, oh okay.
That's nice.
Yeah. So finally I said to him, you know, I know you really want your string quartet performed, but maybe you should write some pieces for some other instruments so that if somebody says to you, what do you have? You can say, oh, well, I have this piano piece. I have this vocal piece, you know, whatever. And so he started writing. And between 2009 and the time he died, he wrote at least 35 pieces of music. And longer pieces, shorter pieces, pieces for full band, pieces for, you know, chamber pieces for one or two instruments. He was always writing. And he took Stravinsky's advice on writing music very much to heart, which was that you need to sit down and write every single day, whether you have a piece that you're working on or not. You sit down and you write every single day. So the hardest thing for him was when he finished the Heine songs and he found that he could not write anymore. And that was in September.
And that was simply, that was...
He couldn't concentrate. Yeah. He couldn't really put things together anymore. He found it extremely frustrating. Mm. But he found it extremely frustrating not to be able to write. Fortunately, he had the 4-week Bartok string quartet course that he taught. So, I mean, a month before he died was when he finished teaching that. And it was... everybody really liked it and had lots of good things to say about it, but it was exhausting. And but he was determined. He told me if somebody could get him there every time, he would be on and he would do it.
He did.
Well,
playing and listening to the Bartok String Quartets can be exhausting, so I'm sure talking about them can be as well. Well, we do have... some of his music for you to hear. The recital on Monday at 7:30 will feature a number of pieces, including a string quintet, a divertimento for string quartet, since you said this. That's not the quartet you were talking about.
No, though. That one was played at the last concert. This is a new one that he'd written since.
A fanfare for a couple of trumpets, a piece called Passageways for a mix, well, John Dee's the oboist with some string players as well. And three character pieces by Elaine Fine. Just really quickly, Lydia, since you're playing that, how did Elaine's music get on here?
Well, Elaine was one of Peter's friends, too. Mm. And could I say that?
Sure.
I had asked Peter to write a piece for viola and clarinet. And Peter, just at the very end there, he wasn't able to keep his concentration up to write it, and felt very devastated by that. And so he asked our mutual friend Elaine Fine to write this piece, which is dedicated to both myself and Peter Michaeloff.
Ah, okay. Well, then, wonderful program in that programming in that case. Well, Tatiana Shustova is here to play.
Hi.
to play at least some of the three character. No, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Where is it here? Five bagatelles for piano.
Five bagatelles, yeah.
Pet mm-hmm. character pieces was Elaine's piece, Five mm-hmm. Bagatelles, called Oasis.
Yeah. Well, I just can say a little bit about the genre of bagatelle that started with Couperin in Baroque music, and then Beethoven, Liszt, and Schubert and Sibelius, they all elaborate this wonderful genre of short and wide pieces. And those pieces are each about just two or three pages long, and one of them in ternary form, and they all have different character, and, but all of them also like very polyphonically based. Left hand is very interesting and challenging for every pianist who would like to perform those, and it's a lot of dynamic changes, so it's quite beautiful pieces. I'm really honored to perform them.
Well, let's hear.
Yeah.
Or are we going to do which ones?
First, I would like to introduce number one, Allegro Moderato. Then we can go to four others. So. The main theme of the second one, Andante con moto. The third one is Moderato in Maestoso, and have really, really strong character at the beginning here.
Can we save the other two for the concert?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. It's three of the five bagatelles for piano called Oasis by Peter Michailov, Tatiana Shustova, performing in our studio here on Live and Local. The full set will be played on Monday night at the concert at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. We also have with us Kristen Colvin, who, with Tatiana, will perform again at that concert three songs of Heinrich Heine. Mm-hmm. And let's see how far we get.
Okay.
You want to give us a quick translation
of the
first of those?
For the first one or first two?
Sure.
Okay. The first poem is very contemplative. The translation is, "The Runestein juts into the sea. I sit there with my dreams. The wind blows, the seagulls cry, the waves bellow and foam. I have loved many a fair child and many a good companion. Where have they gone? The wind blows, the waves bellow and foam." And then the second piece is also, this is my favorite poem of the set, actually. "Day has fallen in love with night, spring with winter, life with death, and you love me. You love me. Soon the hideous shadows will seize you. All your flowers will wither and your soul will bleed to death. Leave me and love only the cheerful butterflies that flutter in the summer light. Leave me an unhappiness."
Two songs by Heinrich Heine. Well, the text by Heinrich Heine. The songs, actually, or the music by Peter Michailov.
Nur so von mir.
finished.
Kristin Colvin and Tatiana Shustova in two of a set of three songs of Heinrich Heine by Peter Michael Love. You can hear a recital of his music in memoriam Monday night at 7:30 at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. This is 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville.